Best you will find the chapter of God's word we have read. The Song of Solomon chapter 3 from verse 9. A king Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousal, the day of the gladness of his heart. It is clear that the great man Solomon is drawn before us in this book. Even the New Testament, of whom King Solomon was a type. It is believed that there's a reference in the words of our text to the chariot that King Solomon made to bring the daughter of Pharaoh, whom he had married, from Egypt to the house that he had prepared for her in Jerusalem. Many are of that opinion. But be that as it may, we know that it's in the chariot of the salvation which the New Testament Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, brought out, that sinners are brought from the Egypt of a state of nature, and that Christ will bring all whom he has delivered from the Egypt of a state of nature to the house that he has prepared for them. As he declares, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. We may the this is a chariot, therefore, we believe that it's here drawn before us. Here described as the chariot of salvation. The salvation of Christ brought out for lost and perishing sinners, for no other chariot can bring us safely to Emmanuel's end but the chariot of his preparing. And in the first place, we may make a few remarks about the need there was for the preparing of such a chariot. And in the second place, we may notice what is said about the chariot here. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love, for the daughters of Jerusalem. And in the third place, we have the invitation that is given in connection with this chariot. Christ in the everlasting gospel, and the chariot of the gospel is passing by, and this invitation is extended to sinners. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousal and in the day of the gladness of his heart. And first of all, a few remarks about the need there was for the making of this chariot. And in connection with that need, we shall observe first of all that the covenant which the Lord made with Adam was a covenant, was a chariot reflecting the glory of God. The chariot, the literal chariot that Solomon made for the bringing of Pharaoh's daughters to the house which he had prepared for in Jerusalem, would be a chariot befitting Solomon's glory. The truth speaks of the glory of Solomon. For there was no king so rich, so wise, so glorious in his day as Solomon. And we can well believe that the chariot that he would make would be a chariot that would reflect its glory. That there be no chariot like Solomon's chariot. Whether to straw off the chariot that the Lord made, the garment of wax that the Lord made with Adam. That was a chariot. Reflecting the glory of God, the glory of his attributes. The glory of his holiness. Of his justice and his truth. And the way was set before Adam that he was to take and that in pursuing this way that he would bring himself and all his posterity were included in the covenant which the Lord made with them that he would bring them into possession of the life which was promised in the covenant. That he and his posterity would be established and confirmed in a state of innocency. This was the way that the Lord said before Adam, as the head of the calendar works, do this and thou shalt live. The way of obedience to God's revealed will. But we see how Satan, as an angel of light, came and set another way before Adam. The way of disobedience, and that in this way Adam would attain to greater glory and happiness than he then had. The way Satan was setting before Adam was not a way of death, but a way in which he could become as he and Eve could become as gods, knowing good and evil. And we see how Adam was deceived by Satan, and how he took the way set before him by Satan, and instead of attaining to the happiness and to the honor and the glory which he expected, as Satan promised him, we find that he went over the precipice and brought himself and the whole human race into an estate of sin and misery. That he broke that chariot. That he broke the covenant. And sinners shall discover as surely as Adam did. That the way of disobedience is the way of death. Satan promises to sinners happiness and life and satisfaction in the way of disobedience to God's revealed will. The truth declares that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And we see this is the condition in which the fall brought mankind into an estate of sin and misery, a condition out of which man could not save himself. In which he was a condition in which he was now liable to all the mysteries of this life, to death itself and to the pains of hell forever. And not only was the man not able to deliver himself, but the way to the way to paradise, the way to heaven was now shut. It was shut in justice because of the sin of men. The flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life was proof that man was shut out in justice. Man would have been shut out eternally had not God, the purpose of mercy, taught a number which no man can number of the lost race to which we belong. And that in the eternal counsels, as that is revealed in God's holy word, that he made a covenant with his only begotten Son, whom he set up as the head and mediator of the covenant of grace. It is from grace in God that such a covenant was made, that such an arrangement was made in the eternal councils for the saving of lost and the perishing sinners. And Christ set up as the head and the mediator and the only redeemer of God's elect. as he himself declares, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And Christ in the covenant of grace, which is a covenant of salvation, a covenant of redemption, God's way of salvation, Christ undertook to come, and in the fullness of time to suffer and die in the room instead of all that were given to him, that he would give to the law the obedience which Adam, the first Adam, failed to give, that he would magnify the law and make it honorable, and that he would meet with the flaming sword of God's inflexible justice, the penalty of the law, and thereby open up the way which man by his sin had closed upon himself. And this leads us now to the chariot, the scheme of redemption, which Christ by his obedience unto death wrought out, as that is symbolically brought before us in the words of our text. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. It was for the glory of his great name that he made this chariot. And now, in connection with the chariot of redemption, we may notice first of all the bottom of this chariot, the basis of it. He made the chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And first of all, the basis, the bottom of this covenant, was of gold. And by the gold we are to understand Christ's eternal deity. For only God manifest in the flesh, God the Son, could work out eternal redemption for lost and perishing sinners. And the gold brings before us the preciousness of Christ's person. That he is, as to his person, God's eternally begotten Son, the eternal sonship of Christ. That is the basis of the chariot of redemption, in constituting Christ as Redeemer. And as priest, we find the Father saying to him, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." The glory of his person is bound up in his eternal sonship, as we find it written, "The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the foundation, the base of this chariot, Christ's eternal person. He is God's eternally begotten Son, the one who was the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. All were in the chariot. The preciousness of the basis, as that is typified by the gold, how precious the basis is, the foundation is, Christ's person becomes precious to all who are in the chariot, to all who are saved by grace, and to you that part which believe he is precious. Whatever doubts they may do it to entertain concerning their own standing, and to their own relationship to Christ, and the fears that they may have, that they may not be in him, where grace is in the soul, where the faith is of the Holy Spirit's operation, the person of Christ is precious to that person.
Christ is, we know and are sure, said John, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is through divine teaching the Christ person can become precious to us. And through divine light and teaching, Christ person has become to us as God's eternally begotten Son. Then we can never countenance any view that is derogatory to the glory of Christ's person. The Holy Spirit will strip sinners of Arianism as surely as he strips those whom he saves of Arminianism. For we are Arminians as we are by nature. We expect salvation by works of righteousness on our part, something we can do, our own faith of our own production. But those who are brought into the chariot in a good day of God's grace, they are not only stripped of their own works, stripped naked and bare, and brought to see that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. They are the Arminianism is burnt out of their souls through the effectual call of God the Holy Ghost. They are brought to believe and see that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and of works, lest any man should boast. And Arianism, which denies the eternal sonship of Christ and makes Christ to be a creature, that he was a created being. That's the variation of that is Arianism, and that he is not God. That lie from hell, that lie which Professor Deering, along with many others, propagating nowadays, that lie as surely as the Arminian lie is bent out of the souls of those whom the Lord in his grace brings into this chariot, that they are brought to set their seal to what the Apostle Peter says, we know and offshore that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that they are brought therefore to worship him as God. That's the bottom of the chariot. Gold, the preciousness of Christ's eternal person. Unto you that power of which believe is precious. And then we have the wood. It was made of the wood of Lebanon. And by the wood we may understand Christ's human nature. Now the wood of Lebanon, it was noted for its durability. There's no wood comparable to the wood of Lebanon. And there was a time when the wood of Lebanon did not grow. The wood of Lebanon grew. Now in connection with the wood of Christ's human nature, there was a time when the human nature did not exist. His eternal deity existed. His divinity existed from all eternity. But he did not. The human nature did not exist until it was miraculously formed and fashioned. Through the power and through the Holy Ghost overshadowing the Virgin, that was then that he took into union with his person wood of the human nature, which is here brought before us as the wood of Lebanon. For if he has to work out eternal redemption for sinners, he must take the nature of those who sin. And in that nature of the human nature, give to law and justice What law and justice demanded.
Then we have the pillars of the chariot. He made the pillar out of silver. The pillars support the chariot. And we meet connected with these pillars of silver, these precious pillars. We may take the pillars in the first place to signify the proofs that we have that Jesus of Nazareth was God manifest in the flesh, the promised Messiah. The proofs that support his claims that he was God's son, manifest in the flesh.
And we may mention the following pillars as proofs that he was the promised Messiah, his fulfilling the types, all the types of the Old Testament church. They found that fulfillment in him. And the fact that all these types were fulfilled in Christ are proof that he was the promised Messiah. The fulfilling of the types are as pillars of silver, supporting his claims as the one who was to come. And also have the promises of the Old Testament church. They found the fulfillment in him. What was written of him, and what was written of him concerning his death, how in his death he saw to it that what was written of him would be fulfilled. We have proofs of that in the Gospel of John. What was written of him. It was written of him that not a bone of him should be broken. And as we observed last Sabbath, that when the Pharisees wanted the desire that the body should not be left on the cross on the Sabbath day, they requested Pilate that the leg should be broken. And Pilate gave orders to the soldiers for their legs to be broken, to hasten their death, so their bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. And we read how the soldiers break the legs of the first malefactor and the legs of the second. But when they came to the Savior, they found that he was already dead. And one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of whom shall not be broken. And another scripture which says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and mourn for him. That the fulfilling of these promises are as pillars of silver, supporting Christ's claims as the one who came to work out eternal redemption for his folk. And also his miracles were proofs of his messiahship. In connection with his first miracle, we read that he showed forth his glory, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed in him. His miracles were proofs of his death. These are silver pillars supporting his claims. And then, as far as these people who are in the, for the hope that they are in the chariot are concerned, the promises of God, all of which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, are pillars of silver to support and to sustain them. What a pillar of silver that has been to many a poor cast down believer. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And many another promise
The promises of the truth, the great and precious promises, are as pillars of silver, for the strengthening and the supporting of those who are in the chariot.
And this also is a pillar of silver to his people, that all the purpose of God are in the hands of Christ, that all things are put into his hands, and that he is fulfilling God's eternal purposes in his providence and his grace, and that Christ is in supreme control of every trial, of every temptation that befalls his people in this world, whom all tried in every conceivable way than Job, whom the Lord declares was a righteous man, a man who feared God and eschewed evil, and in connection with all that he met with, he could see the hand of the Lord in it. He went beyond the second causes and saw by faith the hand of the Lord in the losses that befell him. For we find him saying, shall we receive good and not evil from the hand of the Lord? And this is a support to his own. It was a support to Job, that he could say, he knows the way that I take. For the way that he was taken was the way mapped out and appointed for him by the Lord. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me as gold, I shall come forth. For that is put out for his people, that shall be tried as gold. I will bring the third part through the fire, and refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, they are my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And when grace is an exercise, that is a pillar that the hands of grace will lay hold of amidst trials, when they're in the fire, whatever the fire may be, that he has promised to bring them through the fire. And whatever fire they may be in, it is for their good. He will refine them, purify them as silver is refined, and he will try them as gold is tried. Then we have the covering. The covering of purpose. And by the covering of purpose, we are to understand just the atonement that he made for sin by his death. The word atonement in the Greek means a covering. It's a covering. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered, whose sin is pardoned, and whose sin is covered. Whose sin is covered. Well, this is what alone can cover. Cover our sins. The atonement that Christ made by his obedience unto death. He brought in an everlasting righteousness, and he made reconciliation for iniquity. This is the covering of the chariot, and all who are in the chariot, all who have a hope that the Lord delivered them out of Egypt of a state of nature, and to whom Christ is precious, they are under this covering. They are under the shelter of the blood, for the blood means the atonement. It's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And those in the chariot, they believe that nothing else can atone for their sins but the precious blood of Christ. And they are under this covering. They are under the shelter of the blood. And God looks upon them in Christ.
He's not looking upon them as they are in themselves, but he sees them as persons under the spotful covering. And the Lord sees such infinite merit and such infinite efficacy in Christ's precious blood that he declares in connection with those who are in the chariot, that he sees no sin in his Jacob, no fair versioness in his Israel, that they are perfect in him. Ye are perfect in him who is the head of all the principality and power. This is the covering. And we read too that the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. The midst of it, of the chariot, or of this covering, is paved with love. It was in love that this chariot was prepared. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And it is those in the chariot are loved with an everlasting love. It is paved with love. He gives them tokens of his love. The chastisements that they receive in this world are the pavings, the pavings of love in the chariot. From the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye be without chastisement, but of all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That is his dealings and his dispensations with them are in love. In love to the good of their own souls and to his own glory. We find the Lord saying in connection with Lazarus' sickness, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And what is to the glory of God will be to their good. Whatever sickness or trouble or trial it shall be, the interior of this chariot is paved with love. He has loved his people with an everlasting love, and it is therefore an unchanging love. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Their love changes, and at times the walks is cold. We read that when iniquity aboundeth, the love of many shall walk cold. But however cold their love, they may find their love to be. At times wondering if they have any love at all. This is true concerning his love, that it is an unchanging love. It's a love, it's an everlasting love. The midst thereof been paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem, for those who are in the chariot. And now we shall notice the invitation that is given in the connection with this chariot. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with a crown, for with his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and the day of the gladness of his heart. Now it is evident that it is Christ's church, his spouse, his people, those who are in the chariot, who are giving this invitation to the daughters of Zion to go forth. When Christ is passing by in the chariot of the everlasting gospel, that they will go forth to behold him. And in connection with those giving the invitation, those in the chariot, would notice
that what is written about Noah and the ark. And the ark was a type of the another type of Christ and the salvation that he wrought out. There was no safety, but in the ark it was the ark of God providing, and there's no safety for us, no hope for us of ever making heaven of it. But in this chariot that will be found in this chariot, now in connection with the ark, we read about Noah, that the Lord closed him into the ark. And in the case, first of all, we see that Noah was closed into the warning that God gave him of the judgment he was to bring upon that generation because of their sins. And that is true spiritually, that those who are in the chariot, that through the teaching of God the Holy Spirit, they are closed in to this conviction that their sins deserve eternal death, that in themselves they are hell deserving sinners, and that conviction continues with them, and as far as they are in themselves, no good dwelleth, but all that is evil and vile and sinful, that in themselves they are hell deserving. And the confession is, O Lord, and David was in a state of grace, and in the chariot, when he made that confession, if thou dost mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? And that is the confession of those who are in the chariot. O Lord, if thou wouldst mark iniquity, although my iniquity would not break out into actual sin, thou, O Lord, lookest not upon the outward appearance, but upon the heart. And thou seest and thou knowest the abominations that are in my heart, in my nature. And if thou wouldst deal with me, if thou wouldst bring me into judgment because of the sinfulness and the corruption of my nature, then I could not live in thy sight. No, as we find the psalmist saying, it comes to my mind, in Psalm, thy servant also bring thou not in judgment to be tried, because no living man can be in thy sight justified. In thy servant bring thou not in judgment to be tried, because no living man can be in thy sight justified. And if that is just another words, if thou wouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? That those in the chariot have this conviction in their souls in connection with themselves as to how they are in themselves, they would have no standing place before the Lord, that in themselves they are hell deserving. But they are this also, just as Noah was closed, he was also closed into the ark. Those who are in the chariot, they are closed into Christ and into the salvation that is in Christ as their only hope for time and for eternity. They are, as another said, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. They are poor sinners in themselves, but they are closed in their understanding, in their consciences, in their wills, to God's way of salvation. They desire no other way of salvation. They are willing to be saved in God's way, the way that he has set forth in his truth, and that he would have the glory. For the confession is, shame and confusion of faith belongeth unto us, and not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but allow the glory take. And they're close therefore into Christ as their only hope, As the only name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. The language of their soul says, to whom shall we go? Thou wast the words of eternal life. Now that is the fruit of grace, of regeneration of the soul. Some may be able to tell when they were closed in to condemnation. And that was made clear to them, as in the case of the Philippian jailer, and also closed into the Saviour. But however secret the work may be, this is the evidence, the twelvefold evidence of persons being in the chariot, and under the shelter of the blood, that on the one hand they believe what the Lord declares, O Israel, thou wast destroyed thyself. I am a self-destroyed sinner. And like the publican, they take the blame and the guilt to themselves. They beat upon their own breasts. But they are closed into the one who says, in me is thine help. Our sure and all-sufficient help is in Jehovah's name. His name who did the heaven create and who the earth did make. That they are closed into him. And they are dependent upon him. And they do not seek to have a covering to cover themselves with the big leaves of their own, of what's of righteousness of theirs. They believe that nothing can cover them, but that they be bound in Christ, in the chariot, and be bound in Christ. Then they are under the shelter of the possible covering of Christ's atoning blood, for nothing can shelter us from the sword of divine justice, the wrath due to our sins, but that we found in Christ and under the shelter of his precious blood. Those in the chariot who are giving us this invitation. They're closed into him as their only hope, and that they'll be trust to him, and they are obedient. They prove that they are be trust to him, and that they seek to be obedient to him. The wife is obedient to the husband, and the church is obedient to Christ. They seek to show obedience to him. And that is their desire to walk in obedience to his revealed will. For this is the love. If you love me, Christ says, keep my commandments. And this is their desire, that they will be found running in the way of his commandments. This is also true of them, that they do his will. They have put the crown on his head. We find an invitation that they're giving here. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with a crown, for with his mother crowned him. And his mother is just another name for his people. Just as Christ says, that whosoever doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And they seek to do the will of God. That is their desire. And this is the will of God, that we should believe in the name of his Son whom he sent. They seek to put the crown of their salvation upon his head. All who are in the chariot, they have spoken here of Christ as the Christ mother. They have spoken of as his sister. The spouse, to show how intimate and close the relationship is between Christ and his people, the love that is between Christ and his people. And they put the crown of their salvation upon his head, as we already quoted, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but allow the glory take. They are putting the crown of their salvation unto their own heads. but taking a low place at his footstool, and confessing shame and confusion of his, belongeth unto us, and to thee be the glory. And the church whom he purchased with his blood, he shall be put in the crown of our salvation upon Christ throughout the endless ages. And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and with his kings and priests unto God and to his Father, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. They are crowning him. And crowning him in his offices. As a prophet, they accept for all that he has revealed as a prophet of the church. Know what we have in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that is God's revealed will, given to us by Christ, the prophet of the church, and those in the chariot, they submit to that revelation. They do not sit in judgment upon the word of God. They seek that the word of God would judge them, and they are putting the crown on Christ's head, in acknowledging that he is the faithful and the true witness, and that his word is truth. And they are putting the crown on his head, as the priest, as the only one who can cleanse them from their sins, and putting the head upon them, as the king, that he would adore their iniquities, that he would reign in them and over them, and make them loyal and faithful subjects to him in their day and generation, that they are seeking to crown Christ as king in Zion in his three offices as prophet, priest and king. They seek therefore to do the will of God, and thereby prove that they are his mother. For whosoever doeth the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now the disposal of the chariot, and that is the desire of grace in connection with others. The brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is our desire, that others would go forth to behold King Solomon with a crown, for with his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal. She has been given the invitation, go forth. She is bringing this before the daughters of Zion, before sinners, that this is the day of Christ's espousals, the day in which he is marrying, betrothing sinners to himself. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is the day of Christ's espousals. The day in which he is making an offer of marriage to your own soul. Should you be the blackest sinner out of hell, you are in among the sinners in Zion, to whom the gospel comes in the visible church. And this is the day of Christ's espousals, the day in which he is betrothing sinners to himself, and saying to you, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in truth. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in the truth, and thou shalt know the Lord. That is part of the gospel that the church proclaims, and the church here is doing, that this is the day of Christ's espousals, that this man receive as sinners and eateth with them, and that you will be found this day giving a bill of devotion to every other lover, that will bring your soul to hell, and that you would be receiving Christ in the offer of the everlasting gospel, when he is offering to betroth himself to you in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and in mercy. And I will betroth thee unto me in truth, and thou shalt know the Lord. You reject that offer, and you shall have an eternity of weeping and wailing in hell, to bewail the sin you were guilty of rejecting the Christ of God in the free offer of the everlasting gospel.
The Lord will hold you responsible for your rejection of Christ. It's your rejection of Him. And that is your sin and your guilt. And for that rejection, Christ Himself says that that you shall be damned. But the church in giving the invitation to sinners, she says, this is the day of His espousals. The day in which He is receiving sinners, betrothing sinners unto Himself. And in giving the invitation, she also says, it's the day of the gladness of His heart. This is what the psalmist has said down, what he has known as He Himself declares upon His oath. I am no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, why will ye die? O house of Israel, it's the day of the gladness of His heart, the day of salvation. He is making known, the church is here making known, not only Christ's power to save, but His willingness to save. And she says, go forth, O daughter of Zion, and behold, King Solomon with the crown over his mother crowned him. That's herself. She's putting the crown, as we mentioned, upon his head, the crown of power of salvation. She's in effect saying, when they say, all well from Christ saves such a sinner as I am. There's hope for any sinner. You go forth. Go forth from the ways of sin and go forth from the ways of the world. I have put the I was unable to put the crown of my salvation on his head. And when he saved me, when I have a hope that he saved me, he'll surely there's hope for every other sinner. And really on his head there are many crowns. There are many crowns. Multitudes of sinners in every age and generation have to put the crown of their salvation, Christ said. They acknowledge him as a prophet, priest and king. And therefore go you forth, O ye daughters of Zion. Go you forth. The way is open. This is the day of Christ's espousals, the day of the gladness of his heart. And she is testifying to what the Lord did for herself, as the woman of Samaria did. And she examined it. She put the crown of her salvation upon his head. Give him all the glory. Here come, she said to others, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? And would not this be a day to be remembered? This Sabbath day, this communion Sabbath in which Christ's death is to be commemorated, if your own soul was betrothed to Christ. So going as led by Satan, and deluded by Satan and by the things of this world, and allured on to everlasting destruction, that you would hear the glad tidings of salvation, that you would come to hear the joyful sound of the everlasting gospel. The Spirit of the Bride saying to you, come. And that is what we have here. But what the church here says is through the inspiration of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Bride say, come. And at him that heareth say, come. And at him that is athirst to come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold the King Solomon, with the crown for which his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, and the day of the gladness of his heart. The question was put to others, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye or hesitate ye between two opinions? God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and the church that He has purchased by His blood is appealing to you to go forth and to go forth from the ways of sin and the ways of the world. To go forth, to behold King Solomon, with a crown for with his mother crowned him. That you would be found at his footstool, crying like the leper of old. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he made known, the leper believed in his power, but Christ made known his willingness. For he said, I will be thou clean. And we have here his power and his willingness. The church making mention of his power and of his willingness. It is the day, she says, of his espousals and the day of the gladness of his heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, after so long a time, of rejecting Christ in the gospel, today, if you will hear his voice, then harden not your hearts, but give ear to what God the Lord has speak. O daughter, hearken and regard, and do thine kneel incline. Likewise, forget thy father's house and people that are thine. Then of the king the desire shall be thy beauty vehemently, because he is thy Lord, do thou worship reverently. How can you leave this solemn service if you go, if you leave it rejecting the Christ of God? What guilt, what fearful guilt you are bringing upon your soul, when you are still in the room of mercy, and millions now in hell. And as the Archibald Cook, the minister in Scotland, said, there are millions in hell who will give all that they ever saw for one other offer of Christ. But there are no offers of Christ, no offers of salvation in a lost eternity. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold the King Solomon, with the crown for with his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, the day of the gladness of his heart. It's the virtue of the chariot that he made, the chariot of salvation, that he is able to save to the uttermost, and that such an offer and such an invitation is extended to us the sinners in the everlasting gospel. May he bless his truth. Let us call upon his name. O eternal, the ever blessed one, thou dost put thy joy upon us. Give us to have the prayer of thy church. Draw me and we shall run after thee. Do thou draw us, for we are as we are by nature, drawn away by an evil heart of unbelief. Lord, and bewitched by the God of this world, by the flesh of sin which are but for a season, by the deceitfulness of sin, do thou mercy upon us in our low estate. Bless thy truth to our souls, that take for us as we go forward to holy and solemn duties. Sprinkle upon us the atoning blood. All we ask is for Christ's sake, amen.